Is there really a God composed of all love and true light? Welcome to The Truth Be Told, presented by Beloved of God Ministries, dedicated to revealing the true nature of God and the reliability of the Scriptures as the will of God to us and for us. Now, let's join our brother in Christ, Lawrence Penarello, for The Truth Be Told.
The Bible is God's word of deliverance. The Bible's not just another book. It's not a volume of good references for inspiring messages or a literary work of moral platitudes. No, the Bible is the book of spiritual power and deliverance for those who believe. The truth be told, the power of God is in the Word of God believed. We should come to the place that we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and therefore, His will to us and for us, and that the power of God will effectually work in us who believe. It begins in how we receive the Bible. Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe." To the Thessalonians, it was not just Paul teaching his theological views, nor Silvanus proclaiming an ideology, nor was it Timotheus expounding upon a piece of literature. No, for those in the Thessalonican church received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which then effectually worked or was energized in them that believed. They witnessed mighty signs, miracles, and wonders happening. Through the teachings of Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, they received the power of the Holy Spirit. That Spirit of God worked in them mightily, and as they endured and overcame through the persecutions that befell them, the testimony of their reputation to stand faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ became an inspiration to believers all over the region. They received Paul's and the others' teachings as the living word from a living God, and it worked powerfully in their lives. If the word preached is not effectual, that is, producing or having adequate power to produce an intended effect, like being more than a conqueror, and we are not receiving what the Scriptures promise, it would do us well to investigate how are we receiving the word preached. For in James chapter 1, verse 21, the Scriptures encourage us to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able or capable to save or make whole your souls. The word receive appears twice in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and there are several Greek words translated received. This verse contains two separate renderings. One means to receive objectively, and the other to receive subjectively. To receive objectively is to comprehend and put into use. For instance, in a teaching I hear the Scripture tells me to love my neighbor as myself. I meekly receive this instruction and admonition and immediately begin to treat my neighbor with the same care and consideration I take for myself. To receive subjectively is where I hear the very same teaching and think, wow, this is great, I wish my neighbor heard that. One receiving it as something for him or her to do, while the other receiving is to hear and wish everyone else did it. It effectually works in them that believe. Why? Because they receive it as it is in truth, the word of God. Yet, many Christians take it as the word of men. They think it's full of errors and interpolations. It might have some good moral points, but it's sort of, out of date. So the value of it might be on the level of perhaps a Harvard classic. Unfortunately, when it comes to spiritual power, they get the results of a Harvard classic. Well, as Jonah said, they have forsaken their own mercy. To believe means to act with knowledge and expectations. Let's look at Matthew 13 as we follow Jesus to his hometown of Nazareth. And in verses 54 through 58, it says, "And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, 'Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence hath this man these things?' And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, 'A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief.'" They heard Jesus teaching in their synagogue. They acknowledged the mighty works he did, but they did not receive the word he spoke as the word of God. As a matter of fact, it offended them. Jesus taught many similar teachings and sermons in other places. The records clearly report that the people had all kinds of sicknesses and diseases, and he healed them, every one. However, having come into Nazareth, the Nazareth area, only a few people were delivered. So was Jesus more powerful in these other places? Were there sicknesses of a different kind? No. The testimony cites that it was their unbelief that kept them from the signs, miracles, and wonders he performed other places. They received the word subjectively. Wise words, but just a man speaking, and we all know about him. So he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. How do we hear the word from God when they are spoken to us? It will determine the outcome in receiving or not receiving the promises of God. For the power of God is in the word of God believed. As we look around at our churches, one may wonder, why do some members seem to flourish while other members remain impoverished spiritually? They all hear the same teaching. They read the same scriptures, pray for the same promises, but nothing seems to come to pass for some of them. What is the problem? Well, Hebrews chapter 4 gives us further insight into this query. In verse 1, it says, "Let us therefore fear or have respect, lest a promise left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Is that you? You pray, you serve, you share, but you come up short on the receiving end. You're not getting the rest that fulfillment of his promises should bring. You keep coming up short of your genuine need. So what's up with that? Well, verse 2 tells us, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith or believing in them that heard it." Did they hear the word? Yes, they did, but it was not mixed with their believing faith. Could they quote the scripture? Definitely, but the power of God is not in the quoting. It's not in the words memorized, sung about, or even preached on, unless we mix it with believing. And that is to act on the word with knowledge and expectation. If we do not do that, it will not profit us. So should we not quote it, memorize it, sing it, or preach it? No. Of course we should do all of those things. That's very helpful. But the profit will not come until we act on it with our believing faith. When your pastor or minister speaks those same words, are you mixing it with your believing faith? Are you taking action with knowledge and expectation upon those words? nothing wrong with the Word. It's me, O Lord. At times people say, well, if Jesus were here, I'd believe. Would you? Do you think he might be speaking different words? Do you think he'd have a different doctrine on love or forgiveness or sowing bountifully? Would you receive it as it is in truth, the word of God that effectually worketh also in you that believe? Some folks say, the Bible's just words on paper. How can you believe that? Well, your bank statement is words on paper, and so is your investment portfolio. But people base their entire financial well-being based upon words on paper. What about your spiritual well-being? You write a check, words on paper, give it to the store clerk. He runs it through the register, and based solely on an electric transmission and words on paper, he or she lets you walk right out of the store with whatever items or products you decided to purchase. Another person may say, well, my check is backed up with legal tender. How do you know? Have you ever gone to the bank and said, let me see my stack of legal tender, please? But I've seen money in the bank. Yeah, but was it yours? Well, it could be. If everyone who had an account at that bank went to get their stack tomorrow, could they give everyone theirs? You see, our homes, our cars, our kids' college fund are all based on words on paper. The point is, everyone in our country bases a major part of their well-being on words on paper that we have placed our trust in. So why not God's words? The difference is that the Bible has the power of God behind it. For the power of God is in the Word of God believed. If you want to connect to that power, then we need to believe His words. And His words can absolutely be relied on. Let's look at the record about a centurion seeking help for a sick servant in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. See, just speak the word only. Verse 16, when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. In Luke chapter 4, verse 32, it says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in verse 36, and they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this! For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. This word of God, spoken on the lips of believing, has the same effectual power today when it falls upon the heart of a believing one. It proved faithful in Capernaum, and Bethesda, and Bethany, and Thessalonica, and it will be just as faithful and powerful in our communities today. The people who wrote words on paper in your bank statement may have misspoken, or were not necessarily forthright. I even remember going to our bank one day, and the very next day I went back and it had a new name and a new owner. But the same son comes up every day by the same owner. Look again at the words of the Lord on paper in Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Why, that's really pure. God's words are free of any imperfection. What we get from the Lord is pure, clear, clean, unadulterated truth. At times you may not like what it has to say, but at least you know the truth, and it's the truth that makes you free. I realize how negative and skeptical the culture and society is in which we live. We are given good training in unbelief. You live in the same culture that I do, and you know any good news we hear, if we hear any, has to be heavily leavened with bad. We can find a cloud for any silver lining. However, the Bible gives us the good news of our victory in Christ and can provide a silver lining to any cloud. Remember, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, I also realize we do have a spiritual adversary that tries to plant tares where the word is sown to choke away the fruit. But that doesn't change the power of the seed sown in the heart of a believing one. How you and I receive the word will determine how effectually it will work in us that receive it with believing faith.
We'll be right back to our message in a moment. We invite you to visit our website to learn more about Lawrence Panarello's new book, The True Justice of a Just God. Alejandra Vernon, a top 25 reviewer for Amazon.com, calls it an inspiring work that will fill you with hope and love. Exquisitely written, it has a simplicity and graceful beauty in its style that is a rarity in this age. It is a joy to read, not only for the power of its thoughts, but also for the words chosen to express them. If you would like to order a copy, a link is provided at our website, www.myinternetchapel.org. If you're being blessed by the good news shared by Beloved of God Ministries and would like to support our global mission, we thankfully receive your tax-deductible gifts and contributions through our website or by mail at Beloved of God Ministries, Post Office Box 0894, Westerville, Ohio 43086. Now for the conclusion of today's message, here's Lawrence Panarello.
What is the value we put on the Word? Let's look at the temptations of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. Many times the devil will attack us at our greatest point of need. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it said, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came unto him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." What would you say was Jesus's greatest need? Food? He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The devil tries to tempt him as the Son of God, but Jesus answered for the greater need of all mankind. Let's look at his answer in verse 4. "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." His physical hunger was very real. He hungered. But the true need to overcome the temptation was what was written. Jesus actually quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. "Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." How do you think Jesus received Deuteronomy 8? Oh, it's just a scroll. Another Bible teaching? No, he didn't. He received "it is written" from Deuteronomy chapter 8, as it is in truth, the Word of God, and it effectually worked in him. And that same Word of God will effectually work in us. The book of Job tells us the value Job had for the Word. In chapter 23, verse 12, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Boy, what value would you say Job placed on the Word of God? See, it's not the amount of scriptures we know or can even quote. It's that verse, the very promise we believe, that effectually works in us or is energized in you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen unto the glory of God by us." In 1849 was the California Gold Rush. Family sold everything they had to strike it rich. They thought somewhere in those golden hills were hidden their ticket to treasures untold. They just needed to go and stake a claim. And many came. They faced the hardships of crossing thousands of miles of wilderness in groups and individuals. They withstood the mortal dangers from the elements, marauding robbers, and even unfriendly natives for a chance to make a strike. Few actually unearthed the fortune they sought after, while even fewer found contentment in their wealth, for the payment due surpassed the account received. Russell Conwell, a noted Baptist minister and founder of Temple University, in Acres of Diamonds, one of the finest speeches ever given, he spoke of the enormous abundance of riches to be found in one's own backyard. For the Christian community, our backyard is the Bible, the book of spiritual power and deliverance for those who believe. All around us today is the true wealth for which every man should seek, not hidden away under cliffs and crags of snow-capped peaks, not imprisoned in granite and igneous fortresses of stone and earth that break the back and blister the hand for their tiny yield. The treasure is right out in the clear, openly revealed and ready to be mined to our profit, the Word of God. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message, which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Wow, we have hit the Father lode. So stake your claim and work the mine. As Proverbs 2 tells us, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, if thou seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear or the respect of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." One of my wonderful teachers used to lament, "We still work too hard and believe too little." But if we are willing to act with knowledge and expectation upon the Word of God, our profiting will appear to all. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which will effectually work also in you that believe.
Thank you for joining us today for The Truth Be Told. a listener-supported presentation of Beloved of God Ministries. To assist us in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, your contribution for our global mission can be made through our website at www.myinternetchapel.org or by writing to Beloved of God Ministries, Post Office Box 0894, Westerville, Ohio 43086. We'll talk again next week. Join us for The Truth Be Told.